Hebrews chapter 11, beginning in verse 17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises was in the act of offering up his only son, of whom it was said, "Through Isaac shall your offspring be named." He considered that God was able even to raise him from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. By faith, Isaac invoked future blessings on Jacob and Esau. By faith, Jacob, when dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph, bowing in worship over the head of his staff. By faith, Joseph, at the end of his life, made mention of the exodus of the Israelites and gave directions concerning his bones. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw that the child was beautiful and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. By faith he left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith he kept the Passover and sprinkled the blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn might not touch them. By faith the people crossed the Red Sea on dry land, but the Egyptians, when they attempted to do the same, were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they had been encircled for 7 days. By faith Rahab the prostitute did not perish with those who were disobedient, because she had given a friendly welcome to the spies. And what more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, were made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received back their dead by resurrection. Some were tortured, refusing to accept release, so that they might rise again to a better life. Others suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, they were killed with the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, mistreated, of whom the world was not worthy. Wandering about in deserts and mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And all these, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better for us, that apart from us, they should not be made perfect. Let's pray. O Lord, as we come before you this morning, as we see before us this group of men and women that you have singled out as those who had faith, showed it in their lives in this world, Lord, help us to see how you continue to work in this world. How you continue to carry out your purposes. How you continue to bring people to yourself. Lord, help us to see how we can live for you. How we can live for that better life that you offer. Lord, we thank you that we can come before you and look in your word. May my words be true to yours, and may your words enrich us this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Have you ever been to Cooperstown? it's the only, it has the Baseball Hall of Fame, and I think it's the only Hall of Fame that's in New York State, so it's fairly close and interesting. But if you go to Cooperstown and go to the Hall of Fame and you look around, you'll see various people, various men. I don't think there's any women in there. But anyway, various men who have had certain exploits out on the field, and you see those things. You don't usually see the flaws in these men, though. All of their exploits, all of their the championships they won, and all of those things are right up there. But you know, when you go to Babe Ruth's little booth, you probably don't see that he had a few elements of his life that weren't very honorable. And they don't list all of those things that he did that sort of would take away or mar his image. Gary Carter is one of the Hall of Fame catchers and he died last year. He was a young man. He was younger than me when he died. He had some brain tumors, but most of his write-ups and his Hall of Fame thing, I'm sure, deals with all of his exploits on the field, and especially when he started the Mets rally in the World Series that Miracle Mets came back and won the series. But and most of his obituaries talked about those things. When his daughter spoke of him, his daughter pointed out that he had joined his parents in heaven, because Gary Carter was a believer, and there was something more important than his exploits out on the baseball field. Something more important with his life than those things. If you Google the world was not worthy, just thought I'd do that and see what came up. And there are a lot of things that come up there. One is a book about Christians who were in Yugoslavia when the German tanks came over the hill and started to take over that country. And the faith of the people that were there that carried them through that time. Another thing that comes up is Johnny Erickson Tada, a woman who at one point in her life, when she was just a teenager, saw that there were elements of her life that weren't consistent with her Christian witness. And she prayed to God that she would be taken away from those things, from those desires that she had. Not long after, she was in a diving accident and became paralyzed. But what she saw from that is she saw that terrible disappointment. She saw God's blessing in that, in freeing her from the life that she was living and giving her a life that she could live for her God. And she's consistently given praise to that God for the rest of the life, her life. You'll see the story of a missionary family in India who, after the husband and two boys were burned up by a mob that came through and started their car on fire where they were sleeping, and they were burned up, the mother and daughter continued the work of sharing the gospel with those same people. It's another point that comes up. What's the difference in these people? Why would the world is not worthy? Why would that come in there? Well, it's the same reason it comes in here. They were looking at something different in life. They were looking for something different in life. They were looking at what God was doing in this world and looking forward to the next. There's something different. What's different? Well, I think the phrase that you see over and over again here, by faith. That's the difference. By faith. Living life by faith. Now, were these perfect individuals? If you look at these people who were here, now, unlike the Hall of Fame in Cooperstown that just does the exploits, God, when He shows the people that we're supposed to be following, guess what? He shows the good things, but He also shows us the flaws, the problems that they had, the sins that they had. But they looked to the God of grace. They looked to the God of mercy. They knew that the God that they served had a plan to bring them back into His presence, even though they were flawed. And the Bible is very clear that people are not perfect. And they need to look to Jesus Christ for that perfection that can bring us into God's presence. By faith. He starts out here in this section, by faith, Abraham. What did Abraham do? Do you get the picture here? Abraham, by faith, took his only son, his only begotten. It's one word, just only begotten. He took his one son. Now, God said that through Isaac, all the blessings that He'd promised would come. And yet, God tells him to take his son to the mountain and offer him up as a sacrifice to his God. By faith, Abraham did that. He went. But he knew God would provide. God could even raise him from the dead if He so chose. And in a way, He did, by sending the ram stuck in the thorns so that Abraham had a different offering. Abraham was tested, and he came through that test as he gave his only son. Is that picture familiar? When God the Father gives His one and only son, His only begotten son, to die on the cross for our sins. Now, God could raise him up, but Jesus had to go through that sacrifice. He had to go through, not unlike Isaac. God provided the sacrifice for Abraham and Isaac. But God didn't provide a separate sacrifice for Christ, because Christ dying on the cross for our sins was the only way that we could enter into God's presence. God gave His one and only Son, His only begotten, for us because He loved us. Then He goes to Moses and the people around him. Now, it says that by faith Moses, down in verse 23, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents. Now, by faith Moses. Now, is this talking about Moses' faith? I don't think Moses had anything to do with his getting hidden. But he came from a line of people who trusted in God, and they knew. As they looked at Moses, and I don't think it was just that they looked at Moses and they said, oh, he's beautiful, so he's worth saving. I don't think it was that. Abigail and Dan just had a little baby, and Violet, and you know, you go in and you look at her, and she's beautiful. But I don't think it was just that that Moses was beautiful as opposed to other babies not being beautiful. It was that as they looked at this baby, the wonder of how God brings us, forms us in the womb, and brings us into this world. The wonder of how God does that, how He gives us life, came to them. They understood that casting babies off is not something that should be done. I wish our world today could get that sense that killing babies is not a good thing to do. But they saw Moses, and they hid Moses from Pharaoh. And then Moses, in God's providence, was taken in to the Egyptian courts. And he was raised in privilege. Did he look at that privilege as what was most important? We see, no. He didn't treasure that more than his God. Another one that the writer of Hebrews brings in is Rahab. Here's a different one. First of all, she's a woman. Now, in this time, are women put up as examples of faith in most things in the time that the writer of Hebrews is writing? No. And yet, here's a woman put up there as an example of faith. Not just a woman, though. A prostitute. Now, someone try and sort of water that down and say, well, maybe she was just a hostess of an inn or something. The scriptures are real clear. Here is a harlot, a prostitute. But she turns her life around by giving her life over to the true God. She has faith. And so she hides the spies. And she is part of the lineage of David, part of the lineage of Christ, as she comes and shows her faith and stays with God's people. The writer of Hebrews, you know, he's thinking of all these people in the Old Testament that he could use, and he just throws it. You know, if I tried to talk about all of them, then there's just no time. And so he lists off a bunch of things, a bunch of people, and a bunch of things that happen to people. He lists all these things off. What's the point? Well, as he takes four of these, Gideon and Barak and David and Samuel, Calvin points out that there were defects in faith in all four of those, and in fact, there's defects in the faith of everyone that's listed in this chapter. Gideon was slow to take up arms. Barak hesitated and went forward only when Deborah encouraged him. Samson was enticed by Delilah, and Jephthah made a foolish vow, got his daughter in a little trouble, and stubbornly kept it. Calvin comments, "In every saint, there is always to be found something reprehensible. Nevertheless, although faith may be imperfect and incomplete, it does not cease to be approved by God." Faith is approved by God when we have faith in that true God who has given us life, who has given us a Savior, who has given us the way that we can come into His presence and live for Him. To all outward appearance, these people of faith were insignificant and unimportant. But the true situation was very, very different. They were worth more than the whole world, though they lacked everything. As the writer of Hebrews shows what happened to these people of old, he shows that they were people that were different because of faith. And that faith caused them to have a different perspective on all of life. For example, Moses, verses 25 and 26. I'll read from 24. "By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward." Looking to the reward, looking to what God was providing for him and the fact that this life is not the end. Looking forward to that time that he would be in God's presence and storing up his treasures there instead of looking at all the treasures that were surrounding him in this life. He was looking forward to something that was more valuable than anything that is here in this life. Where are you storing up your treasures? Here on earth, or you're storing them in heaven, looking to your God and living out His will for your life. In verse 35, we read, "Women received back their dead by resurrection. Some were tortured, refusing to accept release so that they might rise again to a better life." This life is not the end. There is a better life waiting for us. And if we persevere in faith, if we persevere through the circumstances of this life, if we do the things that God is calling us to do, no matter what takes place, there's a better life waiting for us. A better life. These people living by faith could be characterized as those for whom the world was not worthy. Look at 36 to 38. Others suffered mocking and flogging, and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, they were killed with the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, mistreated, of whom the world was not worthy, wandering about in deserts and mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. People living by faith, it can be said of them, the world is not worthy. Went to the zoo yesterday with Sam and Connor, and toward the end of the day, I asked both boys what their favorite thing was. And their favorite thing, both of them said the favorite thing was going through a tunnel. There's a little tunnel going through where you can pop up and you can be in the inside of the cage of the Canadian lynx. And their favorite thing was going through that tunnel. In fact, they did it twice. You know, as I'm going through the zoo, I'm seeing all these things. There's lions, there's elephants, there's all sorts of things there. I would have never said that my favorite thing was going through a tunnel. But for those guys, there was a different perspective. Do you have the same perspective of the world on the world around you as everyone else around you? Are you looking for the same things? Are you doing the same things as everyone else out there in the world? Are you seeking to gain in wealth and power and beauty and all of those things that sort of drive people in this world? Or do you have a different perspective? Do you see with God's eyes the world around you? Do you see with God's eyes the things that He has placed before you so you can live your life for Him and bring honor and glory to His name? Have the eyes of a child of faith. Have the eyes of one who is looking at the world around them, seeing what God has there. And you'll see something better. All of these people that he points to, that the writer of Hebrews points to, all of these people did not see in their lives here on earth the fulfillment of the things that God had promised them. Let's look at 39 to 40. And all these, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better for us, that apart from us, they should not be made perfect. They did not receive what was promised here on earth. Now, that doesn't mean that they're sitting in heaven weeping because they didn't get what they wanted. They lived their life in faith, and they're with God giving praise to His name because they're seeing the outworkings and the fulfillment of the promises that were there because Jesus Christ has come. And Jesus Christ has made the way for us to come into God's presence. There was something better for us. And that something better was Jesus Christ giving His righteous life for us. The people of the Old Testament were looking forward to that. The people of faith in the Old Testament understood that God has a plan. And that plan involves sending His one and only Son to save the world from their sins. There is no disjunction between Old Testament and New Testament in terms of God's plan. God didn't start one way and say, okay, this is my law and you need to obey it and this is how you're coming into heaven. And then all of a sudden he realized, oh, people aren't going to do that, so I've got to completely switch over to a different way. No. God, right from the start, was a God of grace. God, right from the start, had a plan to bring His people to Himself. God, right from the start, knew He had to give of Himself. He had to give our Lord Jesus Christ, His one and only Son, to die on the cross for our sins. That was all a part of the plan. And the people in the Old Covenant that were looking forward to that knew that. They were living by faith, knowing that they needed God's grace. Apart from us, apart from those who can look back now, who can look back at what God has done, apart from us, those people are not perfect. I'd rather translate that complete. We can look back at what God did in sending Jesus Christ, and we know that His work is complete. There's still something more as He comes again and He ushers in the new heavens and the new earth. But we know how we come into His presence. We know that we need God's grace through the salvation that's offered in Jesus Christ. Those that were looking by faith forward can now be complete in knowing that Jesus has given His life for us. Well, we have 20/20 vision looking back. What about looking forward? As you live your life, you know that everything isn't perfect yet. You know that there are struggles, that there are trials, that there are things that people go through still here in this life. Can you look at all of the things around you by faith? Look through the eyes of faith at the world that's around you, at the life that God has given you. Look by faith. Is everything going to be perfect in your life? Well, maybe yours, not mine. But we can look by faith. And you know, it's a different way of looking at life around you. I've enjoyed a song that's out on now, and I hear it often on the Christian radio stations, but it's by Laura Story, and it's called Blessings. And as she was writing the song, she was going through a time where her husband was sick, and they were praying for healing, but it wasn't coming. And she started wondering about how God, you know, she's heard all the stories about how God blesses us if we're honoring Him and all of those things. And she started wondering about how God brings His blessings. And the fact is, as we look at this Hall of Fame of faith in the Old Testament, and as we look at the Hall of Fame of faith as people continue to live their lives for God, often the blessings don't come by the things that the world gauges as important. They don't always come by good health and good finances and beauty and those kinds of things. Often the blessings come packaged in something that's sort of hard to go through. Part of the words of that song: when friends betray us, when darkness seems to win, we know that pain reminds this heart that this is not our home. This is not our home. We have to understand that. That we have a citizenship in heaven, that we have a place that we are going that is far better than anything we can imagine, that as we go through this life, we need to put everything in that perspective. This is not our home. We have something more. The chorus of that: what if your blessings come through raindrops? What if your healing comes through tears? What if 1,000 sleepless nights are what it takes to know you're near? What if my greatest disappointments or the aching of this life is a revealing of greater thirst that a world can't satisfy? What if trials of this life, the rain, the storms, the hardest nights, are your mercies in disguise? Do you look at life in the perspective that God is truly working in your life, working things out for good, although they don't always seem that way? Can you see the blessings in the raindrops? Can you see the blessings in the hardships? Can you live this life knowing that there's something better to which we're going? Can you live this life by faith? Let's pray. Oh Lord, as we look to you, as we live our lives before you, help us to live by faith, knowing that you are a God who cares for us, who holds us in your hands. We thank you for that. Help us to see the blessings in all of the things that surround us in this life, and to live life by faith. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.